6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shane Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shane Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top 2-1!
And welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Tuesday game day, game number 43 on the docket. Later this evening, Vegas Golden Knights going to Music City, USA to play the Nashville Predators. Clayton Hamilton and Frank Harnish on location today down at Born and Raised in Henderson. We will be here all evening long, so swing on by, say hello. Frank, good to see you. I saw you all weekend, saw you at the game on Saturday, Fan Fest on Sunday. Busy time for Vegas Golden Knights fans.
Yeah, and it's just about to get even busier with the condensed schedule now, getting ready to for the second half of the season. Games about every other day, always something going on with this team. 10 out of the next 12 on the road, and tonight, is it time to get out the brooms for the series against Nashville? Well, that remains to be seen, but they've won the first two. I'm sure the Predators would like to take one in this series. However, Vegas has the luxury tonight of playing the team coming off the bye week.
That is the sweep. Is in play in Nashville. Two games prior, 4-3 victory back on December 8th. That was a Malcolm Subban game, getting the win in the shutout. And then on the 2nd of January, Marc-Andre Fleury shutting out Nashville at T-Mobile Arena. So pretty good memories when they faced the former Western Conference champions.
Yes, and Marc-Andre Fleury will be the one getting the start tonight, so he'll be in net. No big surprise there. I'm sure we will see Malcolm Subban at some point during this road trip, and certainly within the next 10 of the 12 games on the road, I'm sure we're going to see a little dosage of both of them. It's a nice luxury to have for the Vegas Golden Knights, one that they didn't know before the season started that they were going to have, that they would have a comfort level no matter who was in net for them.
Last time out, a 3-2 loss on a Saturday night against Edmonton, but they did get a point, the loss coming in overtime. And good news for those teams that are trailing, right? The LA Kings lose on Saturday. They lose again yesterday, so the gap keeps widening.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I love the fan base out here, how excited they are in that, but how they're still kind of learning hockey in some respects in that, and they take an overtime loss as a crushing blow, and they get all worried and upset about it, even though in reality, first off, Edmonton is a decent team to not just look at where they are in the standings right now, and this is a team that beat Vegas 8-2 the first time they played, so a much better performance. It was coming off the bye week, so they did get the point. But yeah, like you mentioned, L.A. not only dropping the last two games, but don't look now, L.A. has actually dropped into third place in the Pacific because the Calgary Flames have moved into second place in the division. So the L.A. Kings maybe struggling a little bit in the last couple games, but things are still on top with the Vegas Golden Knights.
And L.A. losing four straight, getting the big ol' L's. Drew Doughty and company certainly not pleased with the way that they came back off of their bye week. But let's revisit that 3-2 game on Saturday night with our play of the game. William Karlsson taking the feed from Jonathan Marchessault, hit him right between your dots. William Karlsson, he is our player of the game. Best mattress, best service, best selection, best price guaranteed. William Karlsson.
Smith racing after it. Cut off by Russell. They both go hard to the end boys. Marchessault to pick it up with 8 seconds. In front to Karlsson. Score! William Karlsson from close range. And the Golden Knights lead 2-1.
William Karlsson with his 23rd of the year from Jonathan Marchessault. That made the score 2-1, Frank. Everything going Vegas's way.
And you know, it's interesting because we're always talking about things of how different it was at the start of the season as opposed to what it is right now. If you would have told most people that William Karlsson was going to have 23 goals this season, they'd have said, wow, he had a really nice season, much better than anticipated. He's got 23 goals now, and there's still 40 games to play in the season, so it's expected that he'll get a lot more. Will 30 be the number? Could he be around the 40 mark or something, leading the team right now? William Karlsson I don't think we can continue to say that he's a surprise. He was a surprise. Now we have expectations for the guy.
There is, and when you look at him compared to other players around the league, Frank, sometimes you see guys have to take a second to settle the puck, get it into a shooting motion. I don't know if there's anybody that I've seen that can get the puck off of their stick faster than William Karlsson.
There's a few guys that have that ability, and that's why they get those scores, goal scoring like that, because you can't set up for them. Artemi Panarin did it, and he's doing it now with Columbus. Certainly Alex Ovechkin has a very quick shot. There's guys around the league, but Carlton may be the quickest shot, like you mentioned, on the Vegas Golden Knights. And you know that he's always had this ability and this capability, but obviously nobody really gave him the opportunity before. He gets it here in Vegas, and he is truly, truly making the most of his opportunities. I know people that hear the show every day are probably sick of us saying that, but it's true. It's reality. William Karlsson, a big surprise. Now a guy who's probably looking at some of these other guys and their contracts and that going, when am I coming in place?
Yeah, when am I getting? Indeed, that is certainly what he is thinking. And, you know, we see just what he has meant to that line. We had a number of guys through training camp that would run through that top line. And he's the guy that stuck. He's the guy that's made Marchessault and Riley Smith so good.
Yeah, without a doubt. And those two would be good on their own. But having him there and the way that chemistry is meshed makes that not only arguably the best line for the Vegas Golden Knights, it's one of the top lines in the NHL. You could argue that there's other better ones out there. But remember this, too. These guys haven't played together before, and they're getting better as the season goes. And I'm really curious, and I'm excited about the potential when they actually hit what really is their best, because right now the sky's the limit for these guys. All three of them very young, very talented, and all three with a knack for putting the puck in the back of the net.
We had the play of the game being William Karlsson, but the player of the game was truly his line mate, Riley Smith. Riley Smith did so many things right in that game, Frank.
Oh, without a doubt. Riley Smith, he came out. He played a very good game. The entire line played well, but he was kind of the leader of that line. It's kind of sad for him and the effort that he put in that they did end up getting the overtime loss in it. But let me tell you, they did not lose that game because of Riley Smith. They probably got a point in the game because of Riley Smith.
Riley Smith was your player of the game. The player of the game is brought to you by Brankus Team Realty. Your home sold, guaranteed. Riley Smith.
Riley Smith trying to dart his way loose. Dangles it a little further. It scores! What a move by Riley Smith! Upstairs on Talbot to tie the game!
And this was, sometimes we see a lot of skill, a lot of great stick work. This was pure muscle for him to get down the right side and flip that puck up on the top shelf.
Well, it was, and the thing is about it, we're talking about this great line, and we just showed you Riley Smith. We just played you Riley Smith, and of course, we played Karlsson before that. Jonathan Marchessault had an assist on the Karlsson goal, and although you mentioned the muscle that Smith did to get it down there, Marchessault clears out a defenseman right in front to kind of open up that opening. Now, Smith did everything after that, but if Marchessault doesn't do his part, and he didn't touch the puck, so there's no assist there, but he was also crucial in that. But that's how this line's working. It's like they have one mindset amongst all of them. They know what the other one's starting to do, and when you have lines starting to do that you can read what the other player's doing without saying anything, without any verbal communication, hand signals or nothing, that's what makes him dangerous. That's why I'm really excited about what they might do down the end, because they're really starting to know each other's game, and that's dangerous for the rest of the NHL.
All right, and as you said, just 42 games in, this line getting to know each other. We know that Riley Smith's going to be around for quite some time. We know that Jonathan Marchessault is going to be around for the foreseeable future. We would expect William Karlsson might be the next in line. And we had another couple guys that George McPhee committed to for next season and beyond. The news came down yesterday that Derek Englund, the sort of unofficial captain, he signs a one-year, $1.5 million contract extension to be here next year.
All right, and again, there's nobody with a C on their team for this team, and I don't have a problem with that whatsoever, and neither does anybody in the locker room, it appears. But if there is a guy who, before the season even started, who kind of took on that role, it was Derek England in a lot of ways. He helped a bunch of guys find houses out here. He showed them where they should live, what schools, what shopping areas, everything else out there. The incredibly emotional speech he did before the opening game. And this is a guy, remember, he said whether he was on this team or not, he was going to reside here in Vegas. And for people that think that they don't know that much about him and they think, well, yeah, that's a nice thing to say. He said it to try to position. No, he's lived in Vegas for 14 years in the offseason. Las Vegas is his home. Derek England is much of a Las Vegas resident as a lot of people out there. He's been here a lot longer than a ton of people that are out there right now. He loves this town. He loves this community. This, to me, almost seemed like a no-brainer. The only thing that was questionable, I guess, was the dollars and cents and that kind of stuff, because this makes perfect sense to get this guy here, because he might not be the most skilled player on the ice, but he is maybe the heart and soul of this team.
And he met his wife here. His kids were born here. And he said something very early on to us in the locker room after one of the preseason practices. And he had said, you know, when I go to where I grew up, I say, I'm going back to Canada. When I'm coming to Las Vegas, I say, I'm going back home.
Right. And that truly is his home. And you mentioned it. He played for the Wranglers, for crying out loud. Now, for some people that are really new out here, the Wranglers were an old, not even AHL team, ECHL team that played at the Orleans Arena. They were a good team, but they're two or three levels below the NHL level. Derek England knows what it takes to make it here. Like you said, he met his wife here. He loves this community. He loves this town. He's part of it. And as excited as he is to be here, I would venture to guess that a lot of Las Vegas is even more excited to have him stay around here.
Yeah, I think so. He's certainly been the guy that people have turned to when they have questions or turned to for leadership. And he doesn't have the C on the sweater, but I think he has the C in terms of the perspective of that locker room.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's one of the things about him. And he's just one of those class guys and the type of person that Bill Foley and George McPhee said they were going to get. He's a great player. And I got to admit, when he lights it up and he tees it up, he's got a pretty good shot. He can be offensive-minded as well. That's not his game. The one thing that I think maybe some people are surprised about is that he hasn't been in the fights and things like that like he was known for coming into this. But you know what? You don't fight just to fight. Mm-hmm. You fight for a reason. Up to this point, he hasn't seen a reason necessarily to put himself in the box and maybe handicap his team. I think he's a much more intelligent player these days as well, and that's part of his leadership too, to show that there's a time and a place to get rough and to be physical, but you also have to be smart about it. If it's hurting your team, that's not the time to do it. And he's been very good about that.
That's right. We had the fight meter going at the beginning of the season. The countdown to 200 NHL fights is still stuck on 189. And the contracts keep on coming. Frank, there was another contract announced today. George McPhee has said that they have committed to John Merrill, the defenseman, on a two-year contract extension through the 2019-2020 season worth an average annual value of $1.375 million.
Yeah, and you know, this is a contract that maybe would surprise some people out there, because Merrill hasn't been a big piece of the picture. He hasn't played in a ton of games for this team, but it shows that they're looking down the road, they are looking for talent, and that they believe in Merrill. I'm sure John Merrill is one of the happiest guys right now on this team, but when he has had an opportunity, the games that he has gotten in, he's played well. He's not a scoring machine, but he scored a huge goal with a game winner, his goal that he's gotten for the Golden Knights this year. In fact, he has a propensity to do that in his hockey career. When he does score goals, he gets game winners out there. But he's a defensive defenseman, and that's his role on the team, and that's his job. And again, he might not play every night, but he doesn't sit around and pout about it. He doesn't say why me or something like that. He's not a cancer in the locker room. He's the exact opposite of all of that. He's always got a smile on his face. He's always ready to go and do whatever they ask of him. That's the kind of player that you want, and he's being rewarded for it right now by the Golden Knights.
And he's one of the guys that got some of those ailing goaltenders back to health, staying at practice extra time, doing the extra shooting drills to give Marc-Andre Fleury, to give Malcolm Subban their extra work. When Oscar Dansk is ready to come back, I'm sure he'll be one of those guys that's out there working with him as well. So congratulations to John Merrill. Going to be great to see him hanging around town for a while. And that just begs the question then, when you look at unrestricted free agents going forward, the two big question marks, David Perron, James Neal. We thought, you know, the beginning of the season in the blueprint, those are guys that might be moving on come trade deadline. Don't think you can do that now. Now the question becomes, what is David Perron and what is James Neal's future?
Yeah, and I have no idea what it is. I have a feeling that if they do remain with the Golden Knights, we're not going to hear about it for quite some time, because I would imagine that their agents and everything, first off, they want to play out this season and see what's going to happen. And you know what? It is a business when it all comes down to it. As much as they might, that they seem to love Las Vegas and Vegas loves them, their agents are looking at the business aspect. What kind of money is going to be thrown at them from other teams? What kind of offers are out there? Can Vegas match it? Will Vegas match it? There's a lot of different parameters. If you just asked them and they said, where do you want to play? I'm sure they would both stay right here in Las Vegas where they are. But sometimes it's not that simple, especially when you're talking about signing them, signing a bunch of other guys that they're still going to have to sign, and then the potential of maybe some free agents. I know we hear a lot about John Tavares maybe coming and joining this team. There's other names out there too. This has become an incredibly attractive destination for a lot of players around the NHL. So who do you keep? Who's really in the picture? Who are you building down the road for? Who are you trying to win right now with? That's George McPhee's job, and it's not an easy job. But he's got to be one of the happiest guys in the world, because there might not be 30 GMs that wish they had his job right now, but I can guarantee you there's probably 20-plus right now that would love to be in his situation.
When you think about it, being on the business side, a guy like James Neal probably has one big contract left in him. A guy like David Perron, probably one big contract and maybe two sort of lesser minor contracts.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. And how big are those contracts? And what will somebody else offer? It only takes one other team out there of the other 30 teams to make an offer that's so ridiculous that Vegas goes, look, we love you guys and we'd love to have you here, but we can't match that. We won't match that because we're not going to handcuff ourselves or cripple ourselves moving forward. Sometimes the money does decide and it makes the decision for you. I'd love to see him stay here. I'd love to see everybody in that locker room that we talk to on an almost daily basis stay here, because they're a great bunch of guys, they have beautiful chemistry, and right now something magical is happening. But the reality is, they're not all going to be here. And if they are all here next year, it's a minor miracle. They're not going to be here for 3, 4, 5 years down the road. It's professional sports. There's changes. That's the nature of the business.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Clayton Hamilton and Frank Harnish coming to you live from born and raised in Henderson. We're going to be here all evening. Got the game coming up tonight with Nashville from Music City. Pre-game show at 4:30, puck drop at 5 o'clock. So let's take a look at that, Frank, at tonight's game. Your Vegas Golden Knights game preview brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house. Game number 43 on the schedule. The Golden Knights come in at 29-10-3, 61 points on the ledger, high atop the Pacific Division. Nashville Predators at 25-11-6, 56 points, sitting second in the Central.
Yeah, and Vegas, if they win this game tonight, like we mentioned, they get the sweep of Nashville in the regular season. This could be a potential matchup. We could see this down the road. This could be a Stanley Cup final. Vegas is playing well enough right now that we can say that and actually mean it and be serious about it, because they have taken the NHL by fire. And Nashville was there last year. They are a very good, a very quality team. So what would it be, a complete shock? Tampa Bay is favored right now to come out of the East. But we've seen that before. Washington wins a President's Trophy every year. They don't make it. The Pittsburgh Penguins still have back-to-back. They're starting to play better. Can they even get into the playoffs, and do they have enough to get back there a third time? Nashville is one of the serious players. Now, obviously, they wouldn't meet them in the Stanley Cup Final because they would play them in the Western Conference Finals. But both of these two teams are very good. This could be a playoff preview down the road here. I know Nashville doesn't want to lose a third time to the Vegas Golden Knights. That being said, with Marc-Andre Fleury in net and the confidence that Vegas has and Nashville coming off the bye week, it does seem set up like things look like they could be in a good position. Maybe the stars are all aligning for Vegas tonight. We'll find out.
As you alluded to, we do have some news about the starting lineup tonight. Marc-Andre Fleury will be in the net tonight. There are a couple of scratches, though. Cody Eakin been a little bit banged up. He's missed practice and skates the last couple of days. Gerard Gallant confirming that he is day-to-day. He will be out of the lineup tonight. And Brendan Leipzig will be a healthy scratch as well, which means changes on the third line. Ryan Carpenter will center that line. Oscar Lindberg and Alex Tuck on the wings. Let's begin there with the new look third line. This is going to be a combination that we have yet to see. Ryan Carpenter in the center, Lindberg and Alex Tuck on the wings.
Yeah, I mean, obviously what scares me about it is because we haven't seen it before, so we don't know how they're going to mesh together, how they're going to feel. Alex Tuck is a consummate professional. This is one of the unsung heroes of this team right now. he's always got a smile on his face. He's doing the right kind of stuff. He's around the community. And whatever line you put him in, whatever situation you put him in, he gives 100% effort. But he is on a lot of different lines sometimes. Is he going to mesh with them? What's going to happen? Ryan Carpenter is a guy that the Vegas Golden Knights have said they were looking at before the expansion draft, way back when they first started. They've been looking at him for a while. So they see something in him, like they did with Malcolm Subban. Will it be a success story like that? A lot of people were wondering when Carpenter was going to get a shot. Well, now he's getting another game under his belt to see what he can do. There are a lot of question marks. I don't know how much ice time they're going to have. I would imagine that they're the fourth line. Are they the check-in line? Are they doing something like that? Will they just be in some kind of normal rotation? I'm curious to see what it means. But when you have guys that haven't played together in a game situation before, and then you're playing a quality team like Nashville on top of it, it is a little bit scary. I hope that they perform well. I think they're all going to play hard, but playing hard doesn't necessarily mean playing together. But obviously, Gerard Gallant saw enough in him to say, let's throw these guys together.
And Oscar Lindberg, a guy that we haven't seen in a while, he's been the odd man on the outside looking in. But he's a guy that got a lot of run on a number of different lines all season long. And you got a feel for him a little bit that he was centering the number one line. He was centering the number two line. He's been on the checking line. He's been on the wing, on the third line. It's got to be tough for him with all of these different roles. Like I said, we always call him the Ben Zobrist of hockey because he plays every different position. We've seen him on the penalty kill. We've seen him on the power play. It doesn't matter where it is for him, but it is a curious dynamic to see those three together.
Yeah, it is a curious dynamic, and like I say, that's why I'm curious to see how they perform and how much ice time they do get out there against this team. If the game's a blowout one way or another, will they get more time? If the game's real close, will Gerard Gallant trust throwing them out there in a third period of a tie game or something like that in a crucial situation? It all remains to be seen. But Oscar Lindberg and Ryan Carpenter both have, and I know that, and I'm sure that they're intelligent enough to know this, they don't need me telling them that, but they can also look right over their shoulders and saying, hey, we're here because a couple other guys, one's a healthy scratch, and the other one is scratched right now because he's got a minor little injury. If we want to stay in this lineup and keep this position, we better perform tonight, because depth on this team is something that we didn't know they were going to have, but they definitely do. And if one man goes down, there's two others chomping at the bit to take his place.
And Coach Gerard Gallant sang the praises of Ryan Carpenter after the one game that he did play there in Chicago, hit the post and played remarkably well, given that he was sort of thrown in last minute when Pierre-Édouard Bellemare was on paternity leave, and I think they've been anxious and looking for an opportunity to get another look at him.
Yeah, they've definitely been doing that. And Ryan Carpenter himself said when they first brought him in, he got the word from the San Jose Sharks, and he was thinking that he might be sent down to the AHL. When he said that Vegas was interested in him, and then he found out that George McPhee and the Golden Knights had been looking at him for quite some time and trying to figure out a way to make a deal or get him here, obviously he felt wanted. And we've seen what some of these guys can do when they felt wanted. Could he be another William Karlsson type story where all of a sudden this is his situation to shine and he makes the most of it? I'm not saying he's going to go out there and get 24 games the second half of the season, but maybe in a situation where you're someplace where you know they want you, instead of where they keep on bouncing you around from the NHL to the AHL to the NHL, back and forth like a tennis ball, kind of like Shea Theodore, maybe this is his chance to shine. Hopefully we see that tonight. Time will tell.
And it'd be fun to see Ryan Carpenter in a situation against a team like Nashville, because they do have some high-end skill guys. We're going to see Johansson. He's back tonight. He's been missing when we've played games in the past. Hartnell, you've got Arvidsson, Turris, a lot of guys that have offensive creativity up the center. And Ryan Carpenter is one of those defensive-first centermen. So it'll be fun to see how he matches up.
Yeah, and of course, you have James Neal playing against his former team there. You have Pekka, one of the premier goalies in the league. And you have a team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year with one of the best, most aggressive defensive combinations that they have out there. And I don't just mean combination. I mean all three of them, of their combinations on defense, are very aggressive, and they can cause damage and do offensive stuff as well. It's a very dangerous team. They have a lot of pride. The last thing they want is to get swept by the Vegas Golden Knights. Well, the last thing is probably to not make the playoffs or have somebody else get injured or something, but certainly they don't want that to happen, especially on their ice tonight. I would think Vegas wants to come out strong, hit them early, and take that crowd out of it, because it might not be as loud as the crowd at T-Mobile, but you don't want catfish flying around that arena.
And remember, Malcolm Subban played last time they were at Bridgestone Arena, and Marc-Andre Fleury got the shutout here at T-Mobile. Marc-Andre Fleury, a member of that Penguins team that beat them in the Stanley Cup Finals, so you can be sure the Nashville crowd is eagerly awaiting their opportunity to welcome Marc-Andre Fleury to the ice.
Yeah, they would love to do some Fleury, and I'm not even going to say the end of it because it's just absolutely wrong because he's one of the nicest guys in the world. Let's hope we do not hear that tonight. Or if we do, it's out of complete frustration because he's shutting them down once again. How about back-to-back shutouts against the Predators?
Oh, that would be glorious. Looking forward to that tonight. 4:30 for the pregame, 5 o'clock puck drop right here on Fox Sports Radio. Frank Harnish and I will have it all from born and raised in Henderson. Still lots to get to on the Golden Knights Insider Show. We got to look around the league. There's some stuff going on with Claude Julien, some stuff happening out in Anaheim. We're going to look at all of it right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.
And up the left wing side come the Golden Knights. Drop pass. Score! McNabb, he scores his first goal! And reversing, here's Derek Englund with Alex Tuck. Shot, score! Wow, Derek Englund over the blocker of Anderson. Slides it right wing, back and forth, it's on goal, rebound, score! Marchessault, 2-1 Vegas, 18 seconds into the third. Dumoulin turns it over, here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1.
And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish coming to you live from born and raised in Henderson, where we're going to have the game tonight, 4:30 pregame show, 5 o'clock puck drop, intermission reports, and postgame as well. Special thanks to Chris Chapman for putting that goal package together, Frank. And how good does that sound to hear the four guys that we know are going to be around here for quite some time, the four guys that have received contract extensions, Braden McNabb, Jonathan Marchessault, Derek Englund, and today, John Merrill.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because I'm sure that you get this question all the time. I know I do. When people are asking you, they say, I want to get a Golden Knights jersey, but who do I get? You know, who do I know is going to be around? We think some guys are going to be around. We hope other guys are going to be around. We now know four guys that are going to be around for sure.
Yep.
At least for another season, two or three seasons down the road, whatever it is. So there's a couple jerseys you can safely go out and get because they are Vegas Golden Knights for this season and beyond.
3-5. 81 and 15. And of course, we know Riley Smith, number 19, going to be around for a while as well. So go shopping, Golden Knights fans, and get your jerseys today. And it was nice we had Tomáš Nosek doing the rejoiner because his countryman, Jaromír Jágr, is in the news, Frank. Calgary Flames have placed him on injured reserve with a lower body injury. They have recalled forward Ryan Lomberg from the AHL affiliate in Stockton. This is now Jágr's second trip to IR this season.
And Jágr, a lot of people thought maybe he would just get cut by them, that his season might be over. Maybe the NHL career is finally done. He might be going on elsewhere. Well, right now he's on IR. I'm sure they would love to deal him and try to get something for him. I just don't know somebody that wants to give something for him right now. Jaromír Jágr is certainly one of the greatest players in the history of the NHL. First ballot Hall of Famer, second overall in points. But his career is pretty much over. I mean, and you don't need him to put butts. Remember before the season started when people were saying, oh, we need him to put butts in the seats. Really? Because right now Vegas is selling out at 103% capacity. That means if the fire marshal's listening, there's more people than there are seats in the stadium on a nightly basis at T-Mobile. I don't think Jaromír Jágr would add to that.
And Flames pretty hot without him. Winners of seven straight, is that right?
Seven straight games have moved into second place. They have they're 5 points behind the Vegas Golden Knights. They've played three more, but they have passed up, at least for now, the LA Kings. And don't look too far ahead because your San Jose Sharks, who beat the Kings the other night, they are coming up as well. Right now, they would be a wildcard team.
Bad news for Sebastian Aho, and that would be Swiss Sebastian Aho from Carolina, not Finnish Sebastian Aho from the New York Islanders. He is out indefinitely, Hurricanes saying, with a concussion and a lower body injury.
Yeah, he was injured in a 4-1 loss to the Calgary Flames at PNC Arena Sunday when he was hit by defenseman Mark Giordano, easy for me to say, who was assessed a match penalty for an illegal check to the head. You know, when there's checks around the head, that's always bad news. The NHL is really cracking down on that sort of stuff. Sebastian Aho for the Carolina Hurricanes, one of their good young players. And now it begs that question, what do the Carolina Hurricanes do from this point of the season on? Because they were a team fighting for a playoff spot. Are they still a legit contender without him in the lineup?
A bit of fortunate timing for them. They are on a six-day break, and they won't play the Red Wings until Saturday, so they get a little bit of reprieve with their bye week. Scary moment that we had talked about when the Canadiens and the Boston Bruins had gotten together. Philippe Deneau had gotten hit in the face by a shot from Zdeno Chara. He is now out of the hospital, resting at home, suffering from concussion syndrome.
All I can say is thank goodness for the helmet law that they have now that they didn't have many years ago, because Zdeno Chara, they said that the puck was traveling about, I believe it was 72 to 77 miles an hour. They did some of those sports metrics on it when that hit him squarely in the helmet there. And I mean, that could have literally killed him if he wasn't protected. He went down immediately. It was a very scary thing. The game was delayed. Hopefully he will be all right and 100% again. But, boy, I got to tell you, when it comes to blocking pucks, when you face something like that, can you ever be the same player again down the road? That remains to be seen, because that was a vicious, vicious blow.
We talked about the Flames a little bit, Frank, and the three stars of the week are out highlighting the list, a couple of Calgary Flames. First off, your first star, Johnny Gaudreau. He led the NHL with 6 assists and 8 points in 4 games, propelling the Flames to a perfect week and an overall win streak to 7.
Yeah, Johnny Gaudreau, another one of those guys, not the biggest guy in the world, but a super skilled player and one of the most exciting young players out there. Gaudreau is one of the upcoming rising stars in the NHL. He already is one of the stars of the NHL, and probably one of the big reasons that the Calgary Flames are on that 7-game winning streak they're on right now and looking like the team that Calgary fans thought before the season they might have. Well, right now it's looking like maybe they do have it.
Mike Smith in goal is your second star for the Flames. He stopped 104 of 108 shots, going 3-0 with a 1.32 goals against average, 9.63 save percentage, and he won 3 of 4 games on their sweep from December 9th to 18th.
Yeah, including making 33 saves in each of his first two contests, a 3-2 overtime win against the Minnesota Wild January 9th, 5-1 victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning January 11th. So Smith, again, one of those guys, when he's in net and he's on his game, he is one of the top goaltenders in the league.
Third star to Phil Kessel of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He had 2 goals, 3 assists in 2 games, scoring the game winner in each, which has now propelled the Pittsburgh Penguins into the first wild card spot in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and the Penguins certainly a team that, you know, to say that nobody wants to see them come playoff time, I think is an understatement, because there's a reason they've won back-to-back Stanley Cups, and they do have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, some other talented guys as well. They're winning right now, and they're doing it basically without Matt Murray, their stellar goaltender, when he's on his game as well. And this probably puts a smile on the face of our good friend Mr. Daniel Negreanu, who's good friends with Phil Kessel.
There is a big game in Boston tonight, Frank, and we've talked all season about revenge games for guys on the Golden Knights playing against their former team. We're going to see that when Gerard Gallant goes back to Miami this weekend. That same case for Claude Julien, who was fired in Boston after winning them a Stanley Cup, went off to Montreal. This is his first game playing against Boston in Boston, and oddly enough, falls precisely on the 15th anniversary of the very first time he was fired as a head coach.
Yeah, so, obviously there's a little bit of a factor there that he would like to get a win there, beat his former team, but I think just as much or more than that is the fact that he would just like to get a win for his team right now and get him on the right path as well. We talk about the revenge factor and this, that, and the other. I'm sure coaches have it just as much as players do, especially when you feel like you were maybe let go when you shouldn't have been. But the team made a move that they thought was the right move at the time. I'm sure Claude Julien would love to show them that it was the wrong move.
And you wonder what sort of reception there will be for him. He did win a cup. He was very successful there in Boston. And, you know, they hadn't won a Stanley Cup, Frank, since 1972. He got that in 2011. So sometimes you like to see, you see the video tribute or you see the other things, but it could get a little messy because they already have a tribute planned for tonight, and they're going to be honoring Willie O'Ree, who broke the color barrier in the NHL playing for Boston back in 1958. And Willie O'Ree will be on hand tonight.
Yeah, an interesting thing there with Willie O'Ree, because I know a lot of the games were talking about it yesterday with being Martin Luther King Day. Obviously, Boston didn't play yesterday, so they didn't have something for him on that day. But he still claims to this day that he didn't even realize that he was the first African-American in the NHL at the time, that he kind of found out later. But there's a lot of young players today, African-American players, that said that he was one of their inspirations for joining hockey and getting in the league and doing what they're doing. So Willie O'Ree, maybe not a household name like a Jackie Robinson or somebody like that, like everybody in the United States knows from baseball, but every hockey fan knows who he is and who he was and what he meant to this game.
Yeah, and so should be a fun night, as always, whenever Boston and Montreal get together. Some news out of Anaheim, Frank, and that is that Andrew Cogliano, his Ironman streak is over. The left winger had played 830 games, but he received a two-game suspension for a hit on Adrian Kempe in their game against the Ducks game against the Kings on Saturday night. Did you have a chance to see the illegal check to the head? Did you think it was a penalty? Did you think it was suspension worthy?
Well, you know I did, because we were watching it today before the show. So, yeah, so we definitely saw it. And, yes, it was a high hit, and I could see a penalty, but a two-game suspension, it's a much different game than it used to be. And it's interesting, too, because we talked about him recently when he just signed his contract extension. And one of our loyal listeners, Ed Y, sent me a text at that time saying that I was jinxing him, or it might have been our buddy Armando. I don't remember which one. But he was like, oh, you just jinxed him with his Iron Man because you said he's got that Iron Man thing. Well, he's not out of lineup because of an injury or something like that, like is what usually happens. He's out of the lineup because of a two-game suspension. Was it an illegal hit? Probably. Did he deserve a two-minute penalty? Probably, although if they didn't call it, I wouldn't have a total problem with it. But in this day and age of hockey and the NHL and the blows to the head and concussion protocol and lawsuits just like the NFL has, it's a different game, and the word is out there, you can't do it. So Cogliano loses his Ironman streak because of a hit that, quite frankly, 3 or 4 years ago, might not even drawn a penalty, but today it's a two-game suspension. But you know what? I don't have a problem with it as long as they enforce it all across the league.
Yeah, the only problem I have with it was when I think about a suspendable offense, I think about when somebody goes out of their way to hurt somebody. And yes, it was a hit to the head and his elbow was up and whatnot. But when you look at the play live, and if you haven't seen it, it's all over YouTube, NHL.com, very easy to find online. When I see where Kempe was skating and where he was skating, it sort of seemed to me that Cogliano kind of had the right of way, and the two of them sort of ran into each other. They arrived at the same place at the same time, as opposed to seeing him veer his skating pattern to intentionally go after somebody. I saw two players come together. I saw him put his elbow up, a little bit of self-defense, maybe a little more aggressive than necessary. But I don't buy that this is a two-game suspendable offense.
No, I agree with you there. And another part, too, that you can throw in there is that Cogliano doesn't have a pattern of this. Mm-hmm. He hasn't done this kind of stuff before. I think what happened to him, when I watched the play and then you replay the game and you see what happened, there was some fights beforehand. It was a chippy game. The game was out of control. I think all of that has led to this suspension because that's the way the game was going at the time. But if you go by his past record and everything else, it probably shouldn't have been. But it is. And you know what? He's a Duck, so fine. You beat the Kings last night. You did what we wanted you to. Now sit out a couple games.
The Ducks also picking up JT Brown, who was put on waivers by Tampa Bay. He got in yesterday and got on the score sheet against Colorado.
Yeah, and JT Brown, one of those players, unfortunately for him, maybe best known for is the only NHL player that kind of protested the national anthem during one of the games way back on December 7th. He raised his right fist to show a little bit of unity and black power, and he got actually death threats for that. It's mm-hmm. like you can't even do a nonviolent protest right. today without getting death threats. But I'm not going to get into that whole political aspect.
I like JT Brown as a player. He played well yesterday. I think he's going to be a good fit for a team in Anaheim that's in need of players. When we come back, we're going to go back to Frank's hometown, to Chicago, and talk about one of the keys in the cog of the machine of the Bulls.
The three-headed monster. One of the three-headed monsters.
Three-headed monster. When we come back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.
Chicago Bulls have a full timeout and a 20 remaining, except one timeout left. Jordan Stocks lost his footing here as Jordan, in a surprise, sets up Winnington. 3 seconds to go. The Bulls by two. The Knicks call for time. The Knicks drawn, as you might expect, to Jordan, who had the open man, and Bill Winnington with the stuff to give the Bulls the lead.
That is big Bill Winnington with the 2 points, the assist to Michael Jordan. And Frank, you don't know how hard it was to find a big Bill Winnington key basket for the highlight.
Yeah. And assist from Michael Jordan, him. That was a big dunk there by Winnington. Winnington, part of the three-headed monster that won three championships with the Bulls. If you don't know the other two, well, Luke Longley's the one that most people do know from down under in Australia, because they didn't have a pure, really big man. Bill Cartwright, of course, won the first three with him. The other part of that three-headed monster, 40-year-old at the time, James Edwards. They would rotate all three of those guys in. They were not a team led by the big man, although the three-point shot wasn't what it is today, but it was Jordan, Pippen, and whoever else, including the three-headed monster.
So I know you're a big Chicago guy, and I know you just like to hear Bulls highlights, but what does big Bill Winnington have to do with hockey?
Well, big Bill Winnington is from Montreal. He said he wanted to play hockey his entire life. He recently talked with some people from NHL.com and NHL Network and said that although he won three NBA championships, one of the, if not the most exciting time of his life, was when the Blackhawks were in the Stanley Cup Finals and they let him on the ice at the United Center before the games of the Stanley Cup Finals, and it was just him and the Zamboni. He got to be out there shooting pucks. He said it was a thrill like he's never been had before. He's been in ice rinks, but the ice light at the United Center is just different than anybody else. Stanley Cup ice, I think he saved some of it, like he's got one of those little tubes of the ice there. When he was 11 years old and he said he needed a size 13 skate at that time, they couldn't find him for him, so he said it was time to move on, and that's when he decided to play basketball. But he always wanted to be a hockey player, but he said because of his size, not being able to find a skate, and sticks not long enough for him, he had to play defense, but that just wasn't working out anymore.
You know, Frank, you know when you go to the driving range and you always try to hit the cart with the golf ball?
Yes.
Do you try to do that with the Zamboni when you're out on the if it's just you and the Zamboni, do you try to hit the Zamboni with the puck?
I think I might, but he apparently was just concentrating on trying to get them in the net, because I guess even though the Zamboni was out there, they put a net out there for him. So he was shooting the puck against the boards and shooting it against the net, and he said he was just looking around, just imagining that he was in the Stanley Cup Finals in front of the sold-out crowd at United Center, getting that Stanley Cup Final fever. He was excited. He was thrilled. Yeah, I won three NBA championships, but I was on the ice before the Stanley Cup Finals.
Said he was too big at 7 feet tall, 240 pounds. But in an era that we now see Zdeno Chara, do you think if he came up now, there might be a spot for him?
Yeah, maybe there would. He might be a goalie today with the size of the goalies we see. The other problem he says he has today, he can only get a skate size 15 unless he gets them made, and he wears a 17 shoe, so he said it's really tight when he tries to put those skates on.
I can imagine it would be. Big Bill Winnington selected number 16th overall in the first round by the Dallas Mavericks, a member of Team Canada at the 1984 Olympics, three NBA titles, so a pretty good career. It's not bad to be Big Bill Winnington.
And from St. John's University.
Yeah, I was with St. John's. The old, I guess it's the Red Storm now. It wasn't the Red Storm back then, but good on you, Big Bill Winnington. Always like when those players cross sports.
And who knew that he was a hockey fan long before Charles Barkley, who the Nashville Predators turned into a hockey fan last
year.
That's
right, and we're going to play Nashville tonight, 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock puck drop. Stick around, though, on Fox Sports Radio. T.C. Martin, Terrible Tuesday, The Doctor is next.